kind of entrance fee or pass in order to get in. And there are special passes available for people with disabilities. Can you talk a little about that?
Yes. If people would Google America the Beautiful Passport, within that website, there is an access pass. The access pass is something that if you go to any site that has a fee, that site is required to provide the access pass, and it is free. That access pass will get you free entry into any park that has an entrance fee. Any park that has a user fee, such as a camping fee, you would get a 50% discount to that. Now, that does not include anything that is concession operated.
And then once you have the pass, it lets not just the person with the pass, but everybody else in the car in for free, right?
Yes.
And the eligibility requirements to obtain a pass like that?
You just have to have a disability.
And as usual, we'll have all of that contact information and the URLs in our show notes associated with this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net. We'll also have their social media information.
That's it for show number 2018. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the Sunu Band. Even if one is proficient at using a white cane for navigation, there are still some obstacles that will go undetected by even the most experienced traveler. We'll speak with Diego Mendoza, Business Development Director at Sunu Company, about how the Sunu band worn around one's wrist can augment the information you get from your white cane and provide tactile feedback to help avoid such obstacles.
So join us next week for that episode. See you then.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections. Followed by Far West.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 75 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Then, tomorrow, sunny with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, May 31st. This is the oil report from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Roots of recovery. Signs beginning to point to oil recovery. Esai Energy offers guide for oil markets in summer of COVID-19. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Times have been dark recently, both globally amid the coronavirus pandemic and for the energy industry as oil demand disappeared and oil prices crashed. But there are signs of recovery. An analyst at Esai Energy held a webinar last week to offer a guide for oil markets through the summer of COVID-19. Sarah Emerson, managing principal, said U.S. shale already had been impacted by declines in investment before the pandemic hit. By the time 2020 comes to an end, shale production will have declined 2.2 million barrels a day, she said. Quote, "We think there's a little further to go, then we feel it will stabilize," she said. "It will be difficult to recover quickly, especially in the current price environment." End quote. 500,000 barrels will have come back online by December as prices signal the need for more production, Emerson said. There will be a wave of bankruptcies as shale producers with heavy debt are severely challenged by current price levels, she said. This time, non-OPEC producers, particularly the U.S. and Russia, have joined Organization of Petroleum Exporting Country members in cutting production by 4.5 million barrels a day, largely by the U.S. and Russia. Continued recovery depends in part on how quickly these two nations move to bring production back online. Quote, "It will be difficult for these producers to bring back much production due to the crisis we have today," Emerson said. Continuing the quote, "Overall, non-OPEC cuts will be 2.7 million barrels a day this year," end quote. Demand destruction led to a tremendous rise in oil stocks, which she said will begin to turn around in June. The surplus will be limited to 1.2 million barrels a day if the production cut agreement among OPEC Plus members is followed almost perfectly, she said. Demand is already showing signs of a healthy recovery, with month-over-month growth averaging 5 million barrels a day through August. By the end of the year, she said, there will be quite strong upward pressure on prices. Chris Cote, energy markets analyst, said the success of the various phases of confronting the virus will be key to sustaining oil demand recovery. The first phase, buying time, involved cases, mobility, and testing. The second phase is now being entered and involves testing and tracing, continued vigilance, a geographic shift, and government response to new outbreaks. There is growing concern, Cote said, about the spread of the virus in emerging economies, with Brazil the new hotspot. Quote, "Testing is key to avoiding new lockdowns," he said. "If the positive rate is high, you're picking up symptomatic people. You want to pick up the asymptomatic people," end quote. "The U.S. isn't there yet," he said, "but most states are headed in the right direction. Texas's efforts are middling," he said, "with either too few tests or higher than ideal positive rates." Quote, "Governors will find it hard to put the genie back in the bottle and go back to lockdowns," he said. "We need to keep the virus managed and keep people mobile. This informs our oil demand views moving forward," end quote. Linda Gaiseki, manager of Global Fuels, said gasoline demand has increased by 2 million barrels a day since early April, and global demand should return to 25 million barrels a day by the end of the summer if the outbreak remains under control across different regions. "The U.S. will lead demand recovery for gasoline," she said. Jet fuel demand recovery will be slower, with demand only 2.4 million barrels a day globally in May. By August, demand will have recovered to 5.5 million barrels a day, but is still more than 20% below normal levels. Chris Barber, principal and manager, refining, said refiners will see a slower recovery in the third quarter because they delayed cuts in the second quarter. Quote, "Slow response to demand destruction and the resulting stock build in gasoline will force more aggressive cuts to throughput in April and May," he said. Although gasoline demand will continue to recover in the third quarter, he said high stocks and limited export markets will temper that recovery. Spare refining capacity has been pushed to 27 million barrels a day, exacerbated by capacity additions, forcing refiners to speed up decisions on permanently shutting down refineries or rationalizing capacity. Utilization rates will sink to 73% on average this year. To return to more sustainable utilization rates above 80%, refiners will have to rationalize 8 million barrels a day by 2022, he said. Midlander patents tool that captures gases, fights tank fires. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Crude and saltwater storage tanks offer various challenges, from emissions to fire threats. Midlander Paul Gibbs, managing partner and owner of Extreme Tank Technologies, has developed the Freedom Tool, which has evolved from capturing gases to one that can also detect and extinguish tank fires, skim the oil off the top of water tanks, and change a tank atmosphere from flammable to inert. Quote, "My original patent was in 1990, said Gibbs, who spent 25 years working at the Big Spring Refinery and at Mobil Oil before that. Quote, "As the years have gone by, I've received more patents," he said in a phone interview. The tool works in the flash zone of a tank and is able to take pressure measurements as well as remove emissions as they recur in the flash zone. The large 300,000, 500,000, or 600,000 barrel storage tanks, such as those seen at the Midland Tank Farm, were built in the 1940s and 50s and have floating roofs, Gibbs said. The crude being stored in those tanks today is high gravity, more volatile, and gassy. Gibbs said his tool can capture all gases, even heavier ones missed by the tank's vapor pull or vapor tower, designed to capture those gases before they make it to the tank seal and leak into the atmosphere. Quote, "I am total carbon capture," he said. "All the gases that rise in that tank, I can capture," end quote. The tool can also be used to detect tank fires, using sensors to detect a fire, and within seconds unleashes foam, placing it correctly in the spot. The foam container resembles propane tanks and has a 450-pound nitrogen push to deploy the foam. In a recent tank battery fire in Midland County, he said it took 50 minutes for the first fire truck to arrive and another 30 minutes for more than one to arrive. Quote, "It can be 15 to 20 minutes before someone notices a tank battery is on fire," he said. "Once the fire department gets there, they need to come up with a plan. I can set up my tool automatically with foam, and in less than a second, the valves open and foam covers the entire tank," end quote. "And it is done without agitation, without splashing the foam, or having the wind carry the off foam, and the foam doesn't have to travel through a 450-degree flame and be destroyed or weakened," Gibbs said. "The most important benefit of this capability is that firefighters can stay as far away as a football field's length from the tank battery, keeping them safe," he said. Quote, "At any moment, you can have a boil over, an explosion. Lives are at risk," he said. "The biggest objection that potential clients have is finance," Gibbs said. Quote, "They say they have to insure the tanks," he said. "What they don't have insurance for is the cleanup. Tanks melt, chlorides are released. You have to remediate the soil. It costs an average $650,000 just to clean the dirt in a saltwater disposal site spill." Basic Energy consolidates operating regions. Focus on product services includes midstream unit Aqua Libre. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Companies across the energy spectrum watched activity and revenues fall off a cliff as the COVID-19 pandemic took hold. Quote, "The industry has been challenged by how quickly revenues fell," said Trey Stoltz, Director of Investor Operations with Basic Energy Services. Continuing the quote, "They're trying to right-size their operations," end quote. Basic is no different. The company announced last week that it is consolidating its operating regions from 5 to 3 in a move that will result in approximately $20 million in annual cost savings. The central region will now include the Permian Basin, Gulf Coast, Louisiana, North Texas, and Oklahoma. The western region will incorporate Basic's California and Rocky Mountain operations, and the third is the Aqua Libre midstream unit. Adam Hurley, Vice President and Chief Integration Officer, has been promoted to Executive Vice President and will oversee all three regions and 4 product service lines. Brandon McGuire, Vice President Permian, is now Senior Vice President Central Region. Jack Renshaw remains Senior Vice President Western Region. Jim Newman, Senior Vice President Region Operations, has been named Senior Vice President over Aqua Libre Midstream. The consolidation is a modernization, and by centralizing operations, it takes the pressure off the field operators and lets them do their job, Stoltz said in a phone interview from his Fort Worth office. It will be a hub-and-spoke model within each region, he said. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, Basin announced furloughs and layoffs that are expected to result in an additional cost savings of about $20 million annually. The company recently completed its acquisition of C&J Well Services and has already achieved $17 million in annual cost synergies. Quote, "As the industry comes back, we believe we will be in a better position," Stoltz said. "We will be leaner and stronger," end quote. Basic sold its pressure pumping assets to focus on production services with the acquisition of C&J from NexTier. Quote, "We've seen a pullback in demand for production services," Stoltz said. "On the other hand, it's more stable than completion services," end quote. Production services is one of the 4 product lines, along with plugging and abandonment, coil tubing and rental and fishing tools, snubbing and water logistics. Quote, "Aqua Libre will absolutely be a focus in the future," Stoltz said. The company earlier this month announced the successful testing of an automated water management solution with a major U.S. operator that allowed the operator to manage its water volumes within its existing internal dispatch system, while Basic's integrated solution automatically picked up and routed the orders as required. Basic's solution also provided real-time updates on job status, vehicle location information, and automated ticket processing from generation to approval. Quote, "This is a modernization in the oil field," Stoltz said. "Operators, through their computers, can receive real-time updates, real-time data. Ours is a much more efficient platform," end quote. Efficiency is key for oil field service companies, whether it's in their operations or in making their clients more efficient, he said. Quote, "Efficiency is getting to the cost structure that they'd rather have, being affordable with the activity they have is very important, he said. At a field level, an administrative level, cost structure has to generate revenues, end quote. He predicts the service industry will see further consolidation amid the downturn. Quote, the industry needs it, he said, adding, we'd like to be the driver. BP America names new chairman, president. Dateline Houston. BP announced that David C. Lawler, CEO of BPX Energy, will add to his portfolio the responsibilities of chairman and president of BP America Incorporated, succeeding Susan Dio on July 1, 2020. Dio, a 36-year veteran of BP, who has served as BP America chairman and president since 2018, will retire later this year. Lawler will become BP's chief representative in the United States. With 13,000 employees and $30 billion invested since 2016, BP has a larger economic footprint in the U.S. than anywhere else in the world. In 2019, these businesses accounted for a third of BP's global revenue. Lawler will take the helm as BP embarks on a new ambition to become net zero by 2050 or sooner, and to help the world get to net zero. Lawler has served as CEO of BPX Energy since 2014. In 2018, he led the $10.5 billion acquisition and integration of BHP's Americas shale assets, BP's largest acquisition since buying ARCO in 1999. BPX Energy delivered more than $240 million in acquisition synergies in the first year, far exceeding initial expectations of $90 million. In addition to focusing investment on the higher quality barrels, aimed at delivering returns and cash flow rather than production volumes alone, Lawler's team also developed oil field infrastructure to lower operational emissions and eventually eliminate routine flaring in the Permian Basin. Lawler, a Denver native, joined BP from Sandridge Energy, a U.S.-based oil and gas independent, where he had served as executive vice president and chief operating officer. Lawler's appointment comes as BP continues responding to the COVID-19 crisis, focusing on protecting employee health and safety, supporting frontline workers and the communities where it operates, and strengthening its finances.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, May 31st, 2020. The Economist. The Short-Term Outlook for the U.S. Economy by M. Ray Perryman. Social distancing requirements, while essential to preventing major spikes in COVID-19 cases, have caused unprecedented disruptions to the U.S. economy. Although the pace of recovery will depend on many unknown and currently unknowable factors, including health outcomes as the economy begins to reopen, our most recent forecasts account for the information presently available in a systematic manner. Total U.S. non-farm payroll employment fell by 20.5 million in April, and the unemployment rate rose to 14.7%. The hardest hit industries are those which had to largely shut down, including travel-oriented segments such as hotels and motels, as well as restaurants and bars. Declines also occurred in health care and social assistance, largely due to lost jobs in child care, professional and business services, retail trade, except grocery stores and a few other categories, and construction. While portions of the healthcare system are strained due to the virus, others are seeing notable reductions as non-essential surgeries, treatments, dental appointments, and office visits are delayed. Another industry with major declines is mining, which includes oil and gas, as COVID-related demand reductions across the globe and a supply shock caused crude prices to plummet. Our most recent short-term projections for the national economy indicate a decline in real gross product at a minus 5.47% rate in 2020, representing a total loss of more than $1.0 trillion. For 2021, real gross product is forecast to grow by $973.7 billion, a 5.4% rate, and almost get back to 2019 levels. Job losses on an annualized basis are forecast to exceed 9.8 million in 2020, a 6.49% decline, with 5.19% growth expected in 2021. Employment will likely not reach 2019 levels until 2022, with about 2 to 5 years required to achieve pre-virus baseline expectations, as long as the reopening is well managed without additional major shutdowns. Note that near-term monthly losses are much higher, but recovery is expected to begin in earnest later this year. The basic structure of the economy was sound prior to the outbreak, and the current downturn is essentially caused by fallout from a health crisis. Assuming that through aggressive monetary policy, targeted fiscal stimulus, and other measures, the basic economic structure remains in place and no further interruptions occur, the recovery should be relatively rapid once the virus risk has abated. Economic patterns over the next few years are likely to be quite different from expectations prior to the pandemic, as reflected in these projections. However, there is not yet evidence that the long-term outlook will be significantly impaired. A disruption of this magnitude will change certain aspects of economic behavior on an ongoing basis, but should not dampen overall expansion prospects in the decades to come. Be safe.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the Dennis Allam column published in the Odessa American, Sunday, May 31st, 2020. Negative mood on the rise. Quote from the New York Times Friday edition. More than 40 million Americans, the equivalent of one worker in four, have filed for unemployment benefits since the pandemic began in mid-March. For new readers, I have underestimated the time and distance of this rally since March 23rd. The transports and small cap index were down all day Thursday, with the DJIA finally dropping from up 250 pre-open to negative 147 on the close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 180 this morning, a total drop of near 600. If the rally has ended, we would expect to see an expansion of negative social mood. Indeed, mood has gone from simmer to full negative boil the last few days. Consider these events. The federal government reliably sues the most successful company of the bull market near the top. It was RCA in 1929, IBM in 1966, MSFT in 1998, and now Trump is fed up with social media. He would close Twitter, and presumably his 80 million followers, if he could. He took time out from that fight to criticize the mayor of Minneapolis. China's Luckin Coffee evaporates its $12 billion IPO valuation to near zero. Monthly home sales are down 34% from a year ago. National Guard called out to calm riots in Minneapolis amid a tragic death caused by police. China tightens its grip on Hong Kong. Pompeo declares Hong Kong no longer autonomous from China. Beijing vows to shore up economy, no target set. China picks a border fight with India. Spanish workers protest closing of Nissan auto plant. Depend on Wall Street to add to the financial chaos with another wacky derivative. This time it's called single asset, single borrower bonds. The Fontaine Blue in Miami Beach is already asking for interest rate relief. There are $120 billion of these problematic bonds floating around. Crude oil has risen with the stock market, now at $33. Apparently, there was more storage space than was first thought. Daily momentum measures have topped out across a variety of asset classes, including energy. Chevron has outperformed Exxon in the rebound. CVX is already starting to trend down. Markets tend to top seasonally in May, and that month is ending now. Evidence mounts that a top is at hand, with momentum peaking and negative mood on the rise. Follow our updates at https://professorelam.typepad.com/markets. Dennis Ellum is an assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter.